at Spokane Civic Theater downstairs at the Studio Theater, and it's a gathering, it's a party, it's a fundraiser, it's an exploration, it's a lot of things, of a musical which is in progress, which has gotten its start at Spokane Civic Theater and is now on its way to the big time, at least as far as Chicago, and that is Moby Dick, a musical. We were in here in late March, early April, talking about this interesting project that the Civic had taken on, as a civic theater should do, to encourage the creation of new works. And there's a great tradition there, certainly with the Playwrights Forum Festival and things like that. But a musical is a bigger deal and takes more effort and has to get it going. And that effort has been well underway for the last, heavily for the last 8 months, but then really for a lot longer before that. Let's begin with Jean Hardy, who's directing this production. Good morning, Jean.
Good morning, Vern.
And so when did you first hear about the fact that some people here in Spokane were taking on the creation of a musical out of Herman Melville's story?
I've been involved with the project now going on 4 years. Ed Brian, who was the engineer of the entire project, we had done some work together at Civic Theater. I directed him in White Christmas. I directed him in The Gin Game. And he started talking about, you know, I want to write a musical of Moby Dick. And we're like, yeah, sure, why not? And he did it. And he found a composer, William Berry, and they started to work on this piece. And then he asked me if I wanted to direct it. And, of course, I never imagined what it would lead to, but I did agree to become the director. We did some read-throughs. We invited audience to, you know, just read through it at the Lutheran Church. And then Civic Theater agreed to let us do a workshop production in April of this year. And we decided to stage it, actually, instead of just standing and singing, to stage it fully. And
so then you became the full-fledged director.
And then I actually became the director that tells people where to go and what to do.
Okay, that's probably far enough of the story while, because we'll pick it up from there. Jean Hardy, who is the director of this. My parenthetical thing is when I first met my Susan, who was later and asked her for a date, one of her friends said, "Oh, just go out with him. You don't have to marry him." And that's kind of how it is, isn't it? You think, I'll join for a day, and then who knows? Well, so that's Jean Hardy's saga with the last 4 years of Moby Dick. So let's go to the originator, Ed Brian, who's this has been your lifelong dream. How long, even before 4 years ago, were you dreaming about this?
About 2013 is when I started this whole project. I listened to the book on tape, and I came home and told my wife. I says, "You know, I think I'll write a musical on Moby Dick." And she looked at me out the corner of her eye, and she says, "Okay." And so I just started writing lyrics, and I wrote lyrics. If you saw my Moby Dick book, it's got sticky notes everywhere. And then I found a searchable book, which was made it a lot easier to do. But I worked on lyrics for probably 2 years before I found William Berry to start composing music. And that's been a real blessing. He does a great, great job.
Yeah, he's an absolutely brilliant composer.
Yes.
And he
can bring out these emotions of all this stuff, and it's wonderful.
Yeah. And so
and Gene.
Well, even before we get into Gene, I want one more thing about William Berry. When you started doing that, would you just kind of give him the lyric and he'd give back the song, that was it? Or was there usually some back and forth let's try this?
When I was writing the lyrics, I would make music notes that I highlighted in green. And I'd say, I think that this should be blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure how much of that got to William. He did a great job, and I don't know if my music notes were anything that influenced him or not, but they were there. I did have music notes. I could hear what I want this to sound like.
But then when the song came back to you, generally just said, "Oh yeah."
Yeah, I did.
Okay, now to encountering Gene and really trying to make this into a show.
Gene and I worked together, as she said, and we were going to have a read-through at my house. And I was trying to find, 15, 20 people from the Civic Theater that could just come and read the show to see what it, if it made any sense or not. And actually, she was asked by the artistic director at the time, the Civic Theater, if she could just kind of, read through it and with us and maybe read the stage directions that I had written so you could make it look. And she never left. Mm. She just kept being the director. Mm. And it's great. She's thinks of things that I never think about. Mm. When we staged it at the Civic Theater last April, I had gone to a show. I don't know if any of you heard of it. Why can't I say it now?
Come From Away.
Come From Away is a great show. It's about Gander, Newfoundland, where all the planes had to land after 9/11. Mm. And they staged that with 12 chairs and 4 tables, and it represented 5,000 people in the town and 7,000 passengers. I thought, wow, I ought to be able to do Moby Dick with 12 chairs and 4 tables. And we did. We actually did it with boxes. Mm. And it worked out. And Gene just made it all work.
Nice. So then you had your run. Then you had to cast it. So let's move to that. You had to find an Ahab. And so talk about finding Bill Gary.
I was working backstage in Elf at the Civic Theater, and Bill was in the show Elf. And I was pulling Santa across the stage in Elf, and I wasn't man enough to do it. I had to have help. And so Bill came and helped me because he wasn't on stage at the time, and he was helping me, and we just got to talking. And he said, I found out he had just moved down from Alaska. And I said, oh, cool. He says, yeah. He says, I wanted to get to know some theater people because I've heard that there's this Moby Dick thing coming up, and I want to audition for it. I said, oh, that's cool. I've heard that too. I mean, he had no clue who I was or that I had written this story. And so then he came and auditioned, and he blew us away.
Yeah. So Bill, what's with your desire to be Captain Ahab?
When I moved to Spokane about a year and a half ago, I made first explorations about Spokane Civic Theater and what was going on, and I saw Moby Dick. And I said, that is it. I want to do that. Ahab is a role that, to me, is a once-in-a-lifetime role, and I wanted to be involved in it. I knew nothing about what was going on, other than it was going to be some kind of a read-through thing. And so, okay, so I went ahead and auditioned, and they cast me as Ahab.
Yeah. And so then kind of the same question in a way that I ask Ed, once you then got the songs, because of course it's your job to sing those songs, how did they strike you? And given, against your, against your preconceptions of what Captain Ahab would say, do, sing, and all that stuff.
Well, it's the capstone song that I sing is What Price I Paid. And when I first sang it, I actually started crying. Just when I read it through and started singing it in my room, I got the music, and this is something that's really powerful. And I haven't cried about it since then much, but anyway.
But we have when we listen to you.
Yeah, nice. Okay, anyway, so now we have the scene kind of set for this workshopping. Would it be called that it was being workshopped?
Yes.
Is that the term when you did the April run?
Yes.
At Civic Theater, just to see what works and doesn't. And even with those classic things that from one performance to another, you're going to quickly change a few things and that sort of thing.
We did 4 performances in April. Actually, we were going to do 3. We sold those out immediately, and we had to add one. During those 4 performances, we changed one thing, which was an action that, as we saw it with an audience, we said, that needs to be changed. Mm. We didn't try to come back in during the day and make changes and put them in at night. This is a community theater. But we were taking notes. We got feedback from our audiences every night. We invited people to email their reactions, and we took all of that into account, plus our own, as we watched it, what we thought of what was there. And there were some things that were universally mentioned. The length of the show at the time was excessive. Mm-hmm. And there were a couple of scenes that, although we loved them, they were slowing down the action. They were adding to the length. So Ed and William and I was just kind of there. I'm just sort of the secretary. But we started the process of an edit mm-hmm. on the show. And at the same time, we decided to look for opportunities to do it somewhere else. And we looked at original works festivals. And we found this Chicago Musical Theater Festival. We did the application. We sent it in 5 minutes before the deadline in the middle of the night. And then we kind of forgot about it because we didn't hear anything back for a while.
And the anticipation of not being able to get it. I mean, you know.
Yeah, it was
it's
like
a Chicago Music Festival.
Who knows?
What the heck?
Yeah. And I was sitting in the tunnel at Spokane Civic Theater in July, and I don't even remember why I was there or why Ed came up and said, guess what? We were accepted. Into what? Into the Chicago Musical Theater Festival. OMG. What does that actually entail? And then we started to work on it. And meanwhile, we had made, we had reorganized, cut, trimmed, and made a lot of changes in the script. And we felt like we had something. And then they told us it has to be 2 hours with intermission. That is your limit. And if you go over 2 hours, you will be fined for each Ooh. Performance. So that sent us back to the drawing board to do some more cutting. And we have had to let go of a few things that we really like and feel that at some point might end up coming back into the show.
But editing's always good, isn't it?
It was very good.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, great show. No.
Yeah, we seldom regret editing, nor do the people have to listen to us regret editing too. Maybe even in this conversation. So therefore, you're going to this event in late January,
yes.
early February.
So yeah. We thought that we would be taking our show out there, but we discovered that you have to be there for the entire length of the festival, which is 3 weeks. Plus, you got to add a little time for travel. And it logistically, this just wasn't going to work. And we were like, what are we going to do? And the festival director said, well, you'll come out and you'll audition Chicago people and you'll put it together out here. Like, and that is what we did.
Wow.
We went out in September. We attended an audition. I had said to the guys, I know we're going to do this, but I think we need to hold on to Bill. Bill is Captain Ahab, and I just feel it. Mm-hmm. So we went out to this audition, which the festival set up. 2 days, we saw 157 people sing 32 bars of music. That's all we saw of them. Based on that, we had to make our choices. We were at a table with all 8 shows from the festival, and we just saw wonderful people. We decided on who we were going to offer roles to, but we did not see one Ahab. So it turned out to be a very, very good decision to hold on to him.
Great. So that's the event that's going to be happening here in late January, early February. And so we're going to now get to the punchline here. You're going to hold an event on Sunday, this Sunday at the Civic Theater downstairs, Sunday at 4 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And it is to celebrate, to raise money, to do all kinds of things. So talk about the event that you're putting on this Sunday.
Well, the event is going to be a fundraiser. It costs mm-hmm. a lot of money. Number one, we have to pay actors in Chicago. Mm-hmm. We have to get to Chicago. We have to pay to rent space to live in Chicago for almost 2 months. And we have to fly back and forth and eat and so on. And it's a very expensive project. And we have raised quite a bit of money through a Kickstarter campaign and so on. But we're still short. And so this fundraiser is to raise money to help us finish out this this project. We're going to have games. We're focusing more on maybe kids type games. We're going to have a fishing pond that kids can throw a line over, and we're going to have a spin the wheel, and we're going to have a pin the spout on the whale, and what other odds and ends are we going to have?
You're looking at me, and I know there's one other, but we have an adopt an actor station where we have pictures of all of our Chicago actors and see who looks the best to people. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a giving tree. We're going mm-hmm. to have your phone go off right in mm-hmm. the middle of an interview. Yeah. There's going to be refreshments, both hard and soft. Mm-hmm. And we are going to do some songs from the show with our Spokane people.
Oh, the Spokane cast will be there.
They're going to come back and support us. They've been great about that, helping us to put this on.
Yeah. Including Bill, you'll be singing
What
Price I Paid.
Yes,
your significant song.
But we want it to be fun for the entire family, and as I said, more of a kind of a social event, but an opportunity to give us money in many, many different ways.
Okay, so it's a fundraiser on Sunday from 4 to 6 or so.
We will close the silent auction. We have silent auction and raffles, and we will probably close our silent auction table sometime between 6:30 and 6:45.
You can get some pretty nice Christmas presents fundraiser. Okay. We have some very nice, very nice stuff that you can bid on. Good. We have a replica of the Pequod ship. We have a basket in the shape of a sperm whale. Mm-hmm. We have a quilt that my wife has made, and
Peter
it is
Hardy
beautiful.
Peter Hardy has donated one of his paintings.
Oh, nice! Yeah.
And we have another painting. From
Chuck Harmon, the local artist,
and
here in town.
Rich and Mary Miller of the Wooden,
Written Wood.
Have donated some amazing items, some really, really nice things, beautiful pens that he makes.
Any whale meat in the refreshments?
It's difficult to do Moby Dick and to think about the implications of whaling. So, no, we will not be serving any whale meat at this Moby Dick fundraiser. And whale-shaped cookies, probably.
So that is Sunday the 15th at Civic Theater at 4 o'clock downstairs. And I kind of, to close, Bill, talk about, since you kind of heard about this and cosmically accidentally fell into it, talk about how it's been to let this inhabit your life for this last year and what it means to you.
Well, I don't think any cosmic accident occurred.
Pulling the thing across the stage at the Civic.
I really, I think I've kind of focused a lot of my life on this role. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of my experience. I come from Alaska. I know a lot of, commercial fishing captains and things like that. And I mean, people that do a lot of this stuff day to day. And
so you can really identify with it.
I can identify with a lot that's going on. I can identify with the whole idea of free will, God's will, all these things that come up in Melville. The idea of obsession without compromise, things like that happen everywhere. But in Alaska, you see it a lot.
Yeah. So you're living it and thinking about it. And,
oh yeah,
all that through that time. That's Bill Gary, who is in the role of Ahab in this production of Moby Dick, a musical which got its first appearance in Spokane in April, and now is about to get a Chicago appearance with several with a significant run in Chicago coming along here this winter, with the help of this event that's happening this Sunday at 4. The Civic Theater. So, Gene Hardy, thank you.
Thank you so much for letting us come.
Sure.
Talk
and
about this.
Certainly, Ed Bryan for trying to help us push your project along just a little bit.
Thanks a lot, Vern.
Yeah, and Bill, continue to just have that focus with it of Moby Dick, a musical, and that's this Sunday at 4 at the Civic Theater.